Okay, so welcome to our teleseminar today. For those of you new to the teleseminar, I'm going to talk on today's topic for a little bit and then open it up to people who are on the call if they have a question about what's being presented or if they are seeing something about this understanding that Sydney Banks has shared with us, or if they'd just like to speak to today's topic. And so I'll let you know how to do that once we get to that point. You'll also be receiving a recording. If you got an email reminding you of our teleseminar, you will get a recording in a few days of today's teleseminar. If you didn't get an email reminder, just email me back at drmarkhoward@comcast.net. So let's get into it. So what is it about that there's no need to worry? I think the first thing to see is that it kind of goes with the really powerful insight I got that I share a lot, but today's topic really goes to that. When I first listened to Sydney Banks and I realized that feelings are made up. It's just made up. We make up things like worry through the power we have to think, to create thoughts about our lives moment to moment. And so becoming insecure about life or starting to become fearful or, you know, worry is a byproduct of being fearful. We learn those habits. Now, there's no way getting away from that. The power of Sydney Banks' teachings, which we call the three principles, for example, that's what he shared with us. The power of that is we can recognize what we're up to with our minds, that we're back into our habits of thought of insecurity or fear or worry. Now, I can recall a number of instances growing up where I learned to become fearful and to start worrying. But I think, you know, one of the most prominent things for children growing up when I did, when I was, around, 8 to 10, I think it was, you know, going to grammar school, you know, in the, you know, we had this worry of this nuclear war worry. Was prominent in our lives. And so every so often in the classroom, we'd have this exercise called duck and cover, just in case there would be a nuclear attack. And what it meant was you would get under your desk and cover your head. But whether or not that would have been helpful in the event of a nuclear attack, what it did was started to get me worried. I started to think at times, I guess during the week or during the day as a kid, I started to worry about the possibility of annihilation. I didn't think about annihilation, but, you know, I just started to worry. I started to think about it and get into concern and worry. And a number of things like that I was innocently taught. No one set out to scare me, but it ended up where it started to be on my mind. And when it came on my mind, I got insecure. I got worried. And the only reason I'm telling you that is not to judge whether or not not to judge anybody teaching us about getting fearful or worried. It's just what happens in life. We develop habits, and we can't escape learning insecurity, learning to be fearful. And so that's the first part here, is just see, you picked up worry in your life. It's not giving you anything. It's just something you're familiar with. So a circumstance comes up, and you may be vulnerable to getting concerned or worry or fearful. And that's really what we want to look at together today, that you want to start to recognize when worry's around, that you just got caught up in a habit of thought. Your habitual way, my habitual way, to think of certain kinds of circumstances, and I would call them worry. But it actually doesn't exist. There's a level of your consciousness, your awareness of what you truly are, your awakening into your spiritual nature, where fear does not exist. It isn't there, you see. So if that's so, then worry and fear don't really exist, except when we're caught in our habitual way of thinking. You know, Sid's presented this a few times in a video, but also in his first book, Second Chance. And I forgot who was who. And somebody corrected me last time I talked about this. But anyhow, let's just say that the person that is the main character in the story, who has this terminal illness, is Richard, and the wise person he meets is Jonathan. Well, the first time they meet and they go have like a dinner, Richard is talking about how much of a failure he's been. And here's the point. Jonathan says, you know, there's no such thing as failure. Failure is in the eye of the beholder. When you hold failure, you have failure. The last part I didn't say correctly. But again, Sid just sharing with us, fear doesn't exist. It's only in our minds. And when we hold it, as a thought and consciousness works, we feel it. It comes alive. It looks true. And many years I would teach people that if they're nervous, then it's telling them something. They need to take a look at that, investigate that, analyze it. Where's that being created from your past, you see? Now, really, all we have to do truly, though, is realize that when we're in worry, we're just getting captured by a habitual thought. That's the piece to see. Beginning to learn, beginning to realize you just learn to become fearful. Now, I share this as I shared with you that there's a level of, I don't know, feeling or consciousness you can drop into where this worry doesn't exist. And I had a moment of that many years ago in the 1990s when I went to a Sid seminar, 3-day seminar. And he was talking about, he was really at a high level of consciousness, speaking about death and talking about it in a way, I don't even know if these were the words he used, That's, you know, when we die, our soul goes back to the greater soul, and then we come back later, something like that. Well, I heard, I just got to a feeling level where I just noticed in a moment there's nothing to fear. I just saw it completely. There's nothing to fear. I lived in a level of consciousness in a nanosecond, which fear didn't exist. Now, I know that's there. I don't live there in my day-to-day life. But I know I may be able to capture that again, you know? But that really showed me that my anxieties, my worry, fear, all around the same way of looking at life is learned. Because there's a way we can find, we can get to an awareness where worry doesn't exist. We could come back to that child who is just playing with no care in the world, as you could see with young children. So that's the first thing I wanted to share with you. You just want to begin to become reflective. You don't want to work at this. You don't want to try to convince yourself. You want to open up to the possibility that worry is learned. You picked it up in life many, many times. And so certain circumstances come your way, and you immediately get into a reality of fear or worry or concern. And again, in our innocence, not knowing how the mind works, right, we engage that thinking. And the more we get into it, the bigger it gets, the more frightened we get, the more we convince ourselves it's giving us information. We should be worried. So that's the first point. The second point is, well, is there a way to live other than worry? Can you begin to point yourself in a different direction rather than do anything with worry? And I would say, yeah, that's what is most important. Because Sid has always pointed us toward the beautiful feelings we are, that beyond our learned ways of thinking, beyond our personal thinking, lies beautiful feelings of happiness, love, understanding, all that we're meant to find living here on Earth. Actually, we're meant to live in these feelings. So this may be something you want to nurture, is you beginning to open up to the beautiful feelings that exist within us right now. As you're listening to me and I'm talking, right now, all the happiness you're looking for is within you. All the love you're capable of is within you, even more than you can imagine. So that would be where to go. If you want to take action, you want to move toward love and understanding. You want to move to embracing generosity, peace of mind, and love, you see. You want to just set your sights on beautiful feelings. What are they? They're just contentment. They're just times when you just are feeling one with the world. There are times when you want to give to someone. There are times when you just feel fine, and more. Sid says, you know, we really don't know who we are, we're more, much nicer, way beautiful, much, much nicer. And that's what you can begin to look toward now, rather than having to think about worry or how to get become less worried, or, you know, look to begin to welcome in beautiful feelings. Point yourself in that direction. It's in these feelings that you want to wake up to. They're what we're meant to live in. You know, that feeling of just having a nice day or just having a nice moment? That's it. You know, a moment of laughter, a moment of wonder. That's it. Those are the beautiful feelings. And you want to see your meant to live there. And you don't want to look to them in terms of getting more analytical about it, or using your own personal mind about looking at beautiful feelings, because you'll start to think about, well, if I'm in beautiful feelings, then people will take advantage of me. If I'm in beautiful feelings, I'll get nothing done. You see, that's what our personal thinking will do with it. You want to look beyond that to see that's what you are. You are happiness. You are love and understanding. And when you drop into those feelings, you have the wisdom you need. You see what's needed. You see if you need to reach out to someone. You see if you need to give to someone. You see if you need to relax. You just see this. I remember long time ago now, I was in, this may fortify people's thinking, well, you know, if I'm in these beautiful feelings, people will take advantage of me. But I can remember just being in this beautiful feeling. I just was in, just that grand feeling of love. And I was in church at the time. I was just beginning to learn this understanding, and it was awakening these beautiful feelings. And they, they come around with a collection plate. And for a moment, I had the thought, why don't I empty my wallet in that collection plate? Now, it probably wouldn't have done anything. I could have done that, you see. I could have been that generous, minus my credit cards, you know. But you could be that generous. What's it going to do? Worry comes in, you see. Worry comes in. And then you got to say, wait a minute. But that's the beauty. We're not meant to just live there in certain times. We're meant to live there our time here on earth. Now, it's not going to happen because we're in the human condition. And as I started today, we've learned lots of habits of thought that get us insecure, that get us into concern, worry, judgments, and so forth. Okay? That's going to happen. No big deal. But what we've been talking about through the teleseminars is recognizing that negativity is learned thinking. And you want to start getting rid of it. You want to start lessening your time there. So it never will go away completely, because they're just well-ingrained habits. And when we drop into lower levels of consciousness, lower levels of understanding, there sit these habits of negativity. But you can know what you're doing. You can see them for what they are. That saves us. That's the saving grace of this understanding. Now, as we're talking together, you want to begin to drop them. You want to begin to see negativity is not where it's at. I don't care what it is. It's not giving you a truth. It's giving you a learned way of looking at a circumstance of life. You want to look to beautiful feelings. You want to get interested in beautiful feelings. That may be, that's what just came to me. There was someone that I was coaching a few years ago who had a lot of anxiety, a lot of worries. And a lot of them were thoughts about herself. She would be in her work meetings and would be very insecure about anything she had to say. She would compare herself to other people and then feel bad about herself. So a lot of these worries, and all of a sudden, and we were really talking in this way, in different ways to present the same understanding to you, to her, that I'm sharing with you today, to her, it took a while. All of a sudden, she said to me, you know, Mark, I just realized the other day I could start to get interested in my beautiful feelings. Prior to that, she was trying to get to the beautiful feeling. And in came yes buts. You see, her worry was still overriding her looking to beautiful feelings. But all of a sudden, she got an insight that said, I could get interested in beautiful feelings. I could start to look for them with interest. And it started to move her into peace of mind. It started to move her toward feeling more happy when that came around. See, it moved her into taking better care of herself. Because one of the things she would do was drink a lot of alcohol to quiet the worries. So just take an interest in beautiful feelings. They're there. They're there. Really, what I'm suggesting to you is get your thinking out of the way. Get your negativity out of the way. Because they're here now. And, you know, one thing Sid says about them is that's where the wisdom lies, in your beautiful feelings. Mental health lies in contentment. Contentment is the ultimate beautiful feeling. Because if you really looked at yourself any moment of your life in contentment, any moment where you were just in the feeling, surrounded by what you might call contentment, you would see, if you were looking at it, you had no thinking. You had no thoughts of yourself. You were the closest to what Sid would call being in the now. There was no sense of time. Time's made up, really, to be here on Earth. You have to play that game of time. But time influences worry. Right? What's going to happen? That's time. But if you were truly in contentment, that would vanish. See? Because there's no thinking about yourself. There's no thinking about what you need, again, in the future, or what you're lacking in terms of the past. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go create contentment. It's just something that I keep coming back to and reminding myself when it comes to my mind. And keep pointing myself there. Because that's the ultimate beautiful feeling and the ultimate source of all the wisdom that will guide you in terms of taking care of the circumstances in front of you that you now may be looking at through the lens of worry or concern or anxiety. You're taken care of when you move toward love and understanding, when you move toward happiness. So I wanted to just share that with you today. And I just want to now check in with you and make room to hear from any of you that would like to share. You could share about what you might have heard from today's teleseminar, a question you might have. You could also just share with us what you what's coming to mind for you around the principles or Sydney Banks teachings. To do that, you press star 2 on your phone, and I will see you. And open up. Right now, everybody's muted. But if you press star 2 on your phone, I can open it up to you. Hello, this is someone from Turlock?
Yes.
Oh, Janet. Is it you?
Yes, it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Mark. Well, I have this situation. I had this situation for the last 2 weeks. My daughter and her husband and two-year-old came up for my two-year-old grandson's birthday, and the whole 2 weeks was very disturbing for me. My son-in-law is an alcoholic and drug addict. On the day of the birthday party, he was so drunk, he was falling down in the grass. I saw him 2 times. My daughter seemed so mentally impaired that I fear for her mental health. Fear, there's that word. I've never seen her as checked out as she is emotionally and mentally. And also she was sort of passive aggressive with me. And then the 2-year-old was, you know, super grumpy, which could just be a 2-year-old. But I know that there's a lot of fighting and stuff like that that goes on in their home. And my daughter always tells me that she's going to leave him. She's been saying that for 14 years. And she hasn't left him. And so by the end of 2 weeks, I felt very upset. My blood sugar even had gone from very good to very bad. And when you're in a situation like that, what do you recommend?
Well, Janet, I'm sorry that you saw that. I'm sorry that your daughter is going through that. Well, you know, with questions and, you know, really any question, Janet, go back to, well, what's the truth here?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the truth here is, you have the power of thought to see that two people in your life, your son-in-law and your daughter, are in suffering states of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly somebody in an addictive state of mind, if we were able to look at what's going on in their thinking, we couldn't imagine the painful thoughts and the fearful thoughts that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Way beyond anything we can imagine. So, you know, so that's one thing we know. We
right.
know that both people are in suffering states of mind.
Uh-huh.
Well, we don't want to go join them.
Right.
So, you know, we want to keep our own state of mind, even though we're drawn into concern, you know,
right.
even if we're drawn into worry about their well-being. We don't want to, like, I don't want to make that what I'm really looking at the most. And what I want to do is see if there's any way I could keep my love and understanding. And I know from our conversations that you've expressed what you've seen to your daughter. But really, that's the best we can do. Is share what we're seeing to the people we love. And if we share it from a space of love and understanding, rather than from our own, you know, getting caught up in, you know, serious worry and concern, getting serious. Not that I'm saying this isn't serious. I'm saying we don't want to stay in a serious state of mind. We want to see it serious, but we don't want to let that take us down. So if we're coming from love and understanding, we could still say the same thing. And it makes a different impact whether the person looks like they're responding to us or not. And all we can do is offer as loving as we can what we see. And, you know, I mean, and then see what comes of that through you, through this space in you of wisdom, rather than letting the worry capture you. That's it. And then the most you can do for any of your family, me too, is keep ourselves stable and just knowing that we need to be in love and understanding. We need to keep ourselves there. Even though we see seriousness. And, you know, that could lead to, I don't know, I'm making this up now. It can lead to, you know, I really have to say something to you again. I know you've heard it from me many times. I hope you hear it this time. And I'm willing to help you get there, but you need to such and such, I'm seeing this. You know it's not good for you. If you want to seriously look to help, I'll support you. I don't mean that that means you give everything, like me, you give everything into the collection box. You're supporting with your feeling. And it may, you may just have to chalk it up on the scoreboard of, okay, here's the 12th time I've said it, and it looks like it just bounced off. But you can't get yourself into concern. You have to hold concern lightly and keep bringing yourself back to love and understanding, a quieter mind. Because in there is the guidance from God, is the guidance from mind. And it's for you first. It's for you first. Then you see. And some people may never hear. That's the sad, so that's where the sadness comes in. Some people may never see, but if you could say what you notice from a feeling of love in you, love and understanding, it comes, it's got a different impact.
Right.
So to just talk about it here on the teleseminar, that's the direction. That's
okay.
The direction.
Okay.
Like I spoke with this young woman for a year who was in severe anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem to be landing. Talking
mm-hmm.
like I talked today on the teleseminar.
Mm-hmm.
And we would talk about, like, you know, it was a coaching relationship. So I had the freedom to say, you know, we've been talking about this. Why isn't it going anywhere? You know, and
mm-hmm.
it would go somewhere for a day or two, you know. So, but
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, she got this insight. I could start to get interested in my beautiful feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it shifted her. After
mm-hmm.
like this, like to me, it looked like I had thoughts along the way, like, I don't know if she's ever going to get anything. I don't know if I'm wasting my time. I don't,
mm-hmm.
you see? But
right.
eventually, she saw something. But I was coming from care. I was coming from love and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying it. So, but here's the thing. The most treasured thing we can do is take care of our minds, take care of ourselves.
Right.
And Sid always said, make sure you take care of yourself first.
Right.
It's like in the airlines when they worry, if the oxygen comes down, make sure
right.
you give it to your child first. Oh, no, first you get it. Then
right.
you give it to your child.
Right.
Yeah. So, Janet, I hope that was helpful to you.
It is. It definitely is. You know,
yeah.
as a mom, it is very hard. And to tell you the truth, Mark, at this point, I kind of want to avoid her. It's just my instinct, and then I feel guilty about that, you know, because she's my daughter and she needs love and understanding, right? So I need to.
That may be the wisest thing for you,
mm-hmm.
because you need love and understanding first, and that may be
mm-hmm.
your wisdom just helping you kind of get back to it.
Right,
and
right.
And kind of regroup first.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah, yeah. That's important, is that that's your wisdom telling you,
mm-hmm.
like, to avoid any, you know, looking into that in any way.
Right.
So you can regroup and gather your health back, your mind, mental and emotional
right.
health.
Right.
Okay, let's see if anybody else
okay.
would like to share. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Mark.
Anybody else that like to share or ask a question, you would press star 2 before we end for today. It was nice that Janet continued to talk so we could share that even not helping out, even not talking to the person, even withdrawing from that person may be wisdom. It may not be coming from negativity at all, because our wisdom knows we need to come back and regroup. One more person here. Diane. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Mark. I just wanted to say that that story, well, both the stories of the lady you helped and it took a while, you know. Well, I had just lovely feelings of contentment and just peace, you know, for quite a while. And then a lot of stuff happened and I quote, lost it, you know, lost the feeling. And then the thought came in about, it was just so nice, you know, Mark. I just wanted it back. And then, anyway, you just carry on with life, and I do the best I can. But then just, I don't know what it was, just always that thread of it's okay, you know, just accepting the situation. Always that thread that, well, I experienced contentment and peace in other situations that were difficult, and so I know it's possible. You know, I know it's possible. And then, and I just don't know why, like maybe listening to Sid or listening to you something, or just being quiet, that that the peaceful, contented feeling yesterday and today, like it's I'm experiencing, can't say it, but I'm doing it more. and so I don't want the lady to give up hope, you know, because it's so easy to get into hopelessness. But when you know that, just even if you consider the fact that maybe it's true that the peace and the contentment is coming from within, you know, that's always there in each of us, that is, well, hopeful for sure. And then that it really does come back. And then more, I think it's like how you say, like feeding it, not feeding it, but just letting it be, you know, and just being grateful for it. And then it just kind of like wakes up more, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, thank you, okay. Diane. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
What Diane reminded me of is today I'm speaking just in terms of helping you see an understanding. I don't want it to become something that you evaluate yourself about, around getting, if you're not in contentment, if you're not in happiness, if you're caught up in worry and concern. I'm just pointing to an understanding we can kind of cultivate, kind of keep around, kind of look to, get interested in. But by no means does it mean that you should be going through life without worry or concern. We have it. It's been ingrained in us. But there's an understanding, like Diane was talking about, that kind of creeps in. It kind of reminds you of what's truly going on. And that you deserve these feelings. I wanted to say one other thing that Janet reminded me of when she talked about two dear people in her life that are really, really troubled. One of the things that's helped me throughout my career in helping people, particularly as seriously troubled as her son-in-law, is to look beyond the behaviors, to look beyond the way people are acting toward us, to look beyond, again, how people are acting, what they're doing. Because you see, their love and understanding too. They're this spiritual essence just like you. They're no different. In fact, if you want to go a little deeper, you're connected to them spiritually. There's no boundary. The boundary's here in the physical world, you know. So it doesn't mean you do anything, but it really helps you see for yourself, is to look beyond the actions of the person to the fact that they are the principles too, that they are love and understanding, that they already are happiness, were it not for their painful thinking. And when I look there with the people I interacted with throughout my career, it made a difference. Because I saw things to offer in my role as a psychologist and as a coach and as a mentor. But you'll see things as a parent, as a love partner. Is to not get fooled by the way their painful thinking is making them act. Because you could, and me too, you could live there. And then you get all these thoughts and families get into all these conflicts. But what takes you out of there? Looking beyond to what they truly are. You see, your daughter is the spiritual energy. Your daughter has the intelligence of the universe. Your daughter is spiritually connected to you. And so you could speak to that. You could get interested in an experiment about how could I speak to my daughter's, my connection to my daughter's wisdom. So that's the other piece that really holds us into the wonder of and the compassion, what people call compassion, of other people who are in painful states of thinking. You see? Don't get captured by their behavior and actions. It's like a Halloween mask. You see a Halloween mask and you get scared. But once the person takes off the mask, oh, it's just you. It's the same thing. Our family's actions toward us, you want to look beyond them. So again, I just want to share this now. I'm off to the side. That piece that I just shared with you was not anything I was thinking about telling you today or talking with you about today. It came from the sharing of Janet and Diane. I was listening to them, and I just saw what I just shared with you, which I think, I hope people come to the end of the recording, because that's really how to be with people. Look beyond their actions to what they truly are. It changes the way you are with them. It protects you from getting caught up in judgments and concerns and worries. I hope this was helpful to all of you. Again, this was the reason I offer these teleseminars is for all of us to join in the wisdom of the teachings of Sydney Banks and the Three Principles. And looking for more, I would always look out on the internet for Sydney Banks videos. They're all over now. You can find a lot of them, and I would listen to them. If you have any other questions or you'd like to follow up, email me at drmarkhoward@comcast.net. Well, have a nice rest of the month as we come into the last summer month, I guess you would call it, of August. And we'll be on our next teleseminar sometime in August. Look out for it. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for being here and for contributing. Bye.